I created Species Nutrition with one mission in mind: to provide bodybuilders and serious athletes with no-nonsense supplements that work. I put my name and reputation on every bottle of Species Nutrition products. If you want to be your absolute best, join the evolution. Welcome back, and we are live here at Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, joined by the technician Chris Aceto, and the Detroit Pro Show is in the books. Martin Fitzwater narrowly defeats Good Vito by 1 point, and we have Chris Aceto here live, ready to tell us what he thinks. Chris?
Is it official 1 point?
I don't know. You tell me 1 point.
Well, I heard that it was 1 point after prejudging.
It was a 4-point decision. I have the scorecards here. Actually, Martin edged out Good Vito by 1 point at prejudging, and he won by 3 points at the finals for a total 4-point victory.
Yeah.
But, I don't think there was that many judges because there probably was 5 judges total, I would say, unless they dropped some scores. I looked at the pictures, obviously. I did a little wrap-up of prejudging. I really liked Good Vito. I think he got his tan right this time. The guy's got a ridiculous amount of muscle. He's a freak of freaks. I mean, we love the freaks. He reminds me of like a shorter Jay Cutler. He's got the crazy quads. His glutes and hamstrings from behind are really nasty. I think Martin might have a slightly nicer, maybe taper, but I thought it was a very close show. I did think that the two of them matched up well because they both have a lot of muscle. They both have a lot of conditioning. In your mind, because I know you think that Good Vito should have won, what was the deciding factor in your mind why you thought Vito should have won the show?
Because he was the most muscular and he was the best conditioned.
Yeah. And it is a bodybuilding show after all, right?
I mean, not that it matters. I mean, it does matter, but not that it matters. But, that's the way I viewed it, is he's the most muscular and he's the best conditioned. And he's, you can see here, like in the front, he's the widest. So he did actually win the award called the most muscular.
You think that was more of a consolation prize since he didn't get the victory?
It ended up being the consolation prize, right?
Yeah. Well, that's,
I mean, do I think
how many most muscular awards did Branch Warren win at the Arnold Classic before he actually won an Arnold Classic? Yeah. What, like 3 or 4?
Yeah. I mean, he started with the most musculars.
Yeah.
But he was up against people with like crazy shapes too at that point.
Right. I really think the two of them matched up really well here, to be honest with you. It was a tough decision. I'm more of a freaky muscle guy, so I can, that's why I have a Good Vito, and I know you helped him, so I know you like him. But I think even his back, I mean, you said that Martin wins the rear lat spread, but I think Vito
wins the back lat spread. I thought Martin won the back double.
Oh, the back double, you thought you won. Okay.
But even though I think Martin wins the back double, I would guess that
this is a great shot for Vito too.
Yeah, he's got tapered. He's got a lot going on, dude. He's got, I mean, just he has a stunning back lat spread and a stunning front double bicep, absent thighs, like crazy cross-threaded quads. I mean, I'm not. How many times have I said it on the show? And I don't think it's that important to have the best glutes and hams, but when you do have the best glutes and hams and you win the most muscular award, glutes and hams are generally like a litmus test for condition, even though you can have great condition and not have great glutes and hams. Some people just can't get spectacular glutes
So what do you think won it? Let's play devil's advocate. What won it for Martin? Let's make a case for Martin winning, since he did win. I mean, it was a close.
Yeah, I already did that. Front lat spready wins. Side shots. You can make an argument that his pec fullness, he could win the side chest. Even though you're not looking exclusively at side chest, you know, that's why it's a back lat spread. You're not exclusively looking at the back and looking at other things. But to make the argument for him, very good side chest, fantastic density in the back double. And then I start to slow down there. So that's the way I see the show. So when I have to slow down for him, then I think, okay, I think Vito's winning because there's just more happening.
So let me throw something into the mix here. How does Martin Fitzwater do if he would have been down in Brazil with the Arnold Brazil? Would he have won it?
I don't know. You know, he's very good, obviously. He would have been in the mix. It's just so hard to say until you see people next to each other, you know. Yeah. It's just
let me give you another difficult scenario, because I always like to throw this at you, and this it always changes the answer to everything. Who does better at the Olympia? Martin or Goodvito, if Goodvito even gets to the Olympia?
If Goodvito gets there, I think he has a big impact in the show.
Yeah, I think he's got some more freak factor than Martin. Although I really like, I think Martin's improvements that he's made over the last 2 years are stellar. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah, fantastic. Totally agree. Totally agree. 100% agree. He's made, you know, since I think the first time I saw him compete was at the Legion Pro a few years ago.
Right.
And he looked good. I think he got overlooked, actually. Mm. And see, everything was there, and you know, he was a good bodybuilder at that show, and I was like, I remember seeing him backstage, like, oh, why didn't he place higher?
Right.
You know, you can see, like, right in front of your eyeballs, he's good.
He's a guy who improved as a pro a lot, you know?
Yes. Yeah. He improved a lot since then. I think, going back to your question, I think the Olympia people would like people or just – I think at the Olympia Goodvito would be endearing to the crowd. I mean,
he's got the freak factor. His legs are unbelievable. I mean, it's his legs that I'm really super impressed with.
Well, you know what, Dave, to have the legs, look at the back lat spread. If to have the legs, they look like Jay's early in his career, the tumors sweep.
And they're both strong. Both legs are strong. Jay always had that one weaker leg, you know.
And then to have the glutes and the hams and the back width, you know, the back width on the back lat spread is astounding.
Right, right.
And I'll say this, you know, there's a lot of these poses he's still not hitting right.
How old is Goodvito now?
20.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's really, is he really only 20?
No, he's 26.
Oh, okay, all right. He's still very young though.
And this is not the best Vito that you've remember last year. I said last year when he didn't get the visa, that I said whatever show he does, he's going to win. And then, you know, he had the hernia operation. So when he started prep, he didn't have that super wild density, crazy hugeness.
They did a good job on the hernia, by the way. So
yeah, they did. But I think he'll get to the Olympia. He has to go to Russia. He's not going to be competing right now. I told him he should jump in the Cal Pro.
Yeah, I would have liked to seen that. That's going to be, I guess that's going to be Tony O'Burton's next show.
Yeah, so I guess that's out. So
I would have loved to seen him at New York Pro against Nick Walker, because he's kind of got a Nick Walker-ish look to him, you know?
Yeah, you know, he wanted to do that too, but he has commitments. He hasn't been home to Russia to the motherland for 2 years.
Mm.
And, you know, he moved to Brazil and, you know, he got married. He had a child. His family's not seen as him in 2 years. They never met his wife. They haven't met
his son. Okay. Yeah.
Met his son.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to get a little break. He made a very big impact here, and it's really, you could flip a coin on both of those top two guys. They were that good. Ronald Gordon finished in that third position, and
Dave, you asked me. You make the argument for who'd you have winning?
I had George Farah winning the whole thing.
Well, you had he was on the late entry.
I like good Vito because I think he's got the freak factor, and I'm a freaky bodybuilder.
So sometimes, Dave, you know what? A lot of
times, I love legs too. He's got great legs.
So that's why I'm asking you to make the argument from Martin. No,
Martin's got a better structure.
Only because a lot of times before the show starts, me and Dave will say, like, Dave, who'd you have winning? And Dave will say, you know, I had so and so, and I'll say I didn't, and we'll
right.
butt heads against, you know, go back and forth and say, you know,
yeah, we disagree a lot sometimes, you know, initially.
Yeah, no, so since we agree here, we're either it's one showing our age or two. I don't know what the two is.
My argument for Martin winning is he's got a better structure. He's a little taller. He's a little spread out a little bit more. His physique is more X'd. You know, Vito is a little shorter. So structurally, he looks a little prettier on stage. I think Vito's freak factor overrides that, in my mind at least. But I felt that when I was really about, because I did a wrap-up for the prejudging, and I was having a hard time picking who was better because I was looking at all the poses, and I'm like, he's better here. He's got good here. Then I was trying to say, well, maybe Vito's arms are better than Martin's. I'm like, no, Martin's got pretty good arms too and good shoulders. And so they matched up really well, the two of them, I thought here. And, the fact that it was not unanimous, because you know that when we see these like regional shows, it usually comes out as unanimous. Like everyone picks the same person. It was not unanimous. There was some judges that felt Vito won, some that's how close it was. So when you get that stuff going on, where you don't get a unanimous decision, that tells you that number one, the show was legitimately judged. Number two, it was that close, you know? And I will say, I got to say one thing about the lighting. Fuad Abiad, who was the promoter, they did a great job at the lighting. And I know a lot of people have been complimenting because they got the black background, like the old Iron Man. They have good lighting on these guys. And I think that really helped, you know, make the show look that much more professional. So great job, guys, on that.
Well, they actually asked ChatGPT artificial intelligence what type of lighting and backdrop they should do. And the crazy thing is the Olympia came out. The Olympia lighting came out.
Yeah, really?
That's what artificial intelligence thought that the lighting, the backdrop should be. And then Fuad scratched his head and said, I looked at some pictures when I did like the Toronto when I was like 17, and I looked pale for some reason. We used a black backdrop.
Yeah.
So they fought the artificial intelligence, went with their gun, and, you know, lo and behold, we have a fantastically lit bodybuilding show, compliments of a single black curtain that you can get at Walmart.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Olympia and the Arnold people will take this into advisement, at least for the prejudging, you know. And then the night show, you can have your pomp and circumstance. Who cares?
Yeah,
it worked well. These guys got great pictures of themselves. They look good. It makes it way easier to extract their picture off of that background if you want to move it onto something else. You know, when you do ads for like magazines, you know, they always take pictures of you on like a solid background so they can extract the image more easily. And so you can absolutely extract these images, no problem. So. Anyway, I was happy with the way it looks. Did you see they had like some guest posers on the stage too?
You know, I missed that. I heard someone told me. And I went to look at it, and I didn't have the time to see who was guest posing.
I'm going to pull it up for you. Hunter Labrada and Samson.
Hunter wore the hat.
Hunter wore the hat, of course.
Dave, you didn't get. It's not Samson, is it? Well, you get the.
Yes, that's Samson. That's Samson.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Zoom in on it, Dave. You're going to get hammered.
I'm zoomed in. I'm zoomed. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, zoom, zoom. George Farah writes, less gear, more food. It will make you massive. I don't know what that is in response to, but he threw in that little comment there. So then someone wrote back, sorry, George, I love you, but this isn't a result of less food. Can't fool anyone above 70. I don't know what that means. I'm not following the whole thing. Ian Valier shot this footage, so thank you, Ian. Well, you know, I would imagine Samson's probably cleaning out now, don't you think, Chris?
He's
a little behind Hunter too. I mean, in terms of where they're standing, Hunter stepped forward a little bit, I think, on him.
Hunter's big, dude.
Hunter's huge. Yeah, Hunter's as big as we've seen him. You know,
Hunter's big.
A lot of people were very complimented, but we saw, I don't know where we were just commenting on Hunter like a few weeks ago, and we saw that he was really big. When I saw him at the Arnold, he was huge. I even said it to him. I said, this is the biggest you've ever been that I've ever seen you. And he said, yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Right?
Yeah.
Coming from you, Dave, right?
He's a good guy. Yeah.
His father was such a good guy. I used to think he was a phony. How's that?
Yeah, no, he's.
I didn't think people could be that good.
You are like my father. My father thinks that if people are too nice, that
no, because his father was so
genuine
to everyone all the time. I was like 18 and 19. I thought, what a phony.
Oh, you and my father. Oh, my God.
But, Dave, I was 18. Your father was probably like 50 or 60.
Yeah.
Somebody told me somewhere down the line, someone said, no, with Lee Lebrada, that's what you get. They said, someone complimented me on thinking that I had like sussed out his like real personality, but actually just completely wrong.
Right.
And I said, really? You can be that nice all the time to all people? And the person said, yeah, you can. Lee is. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I told him that story years later. I said, you know what, Lee? I was in Brazil actually, like for maybe 2010. And that's what I told him. I said, I used to think you were a phony. he laughed. That's what he is, right?
This lighting's even better here. I don't know who shot this footage, but this one's even nicer.
Yeah, this is a night show.
Oh, is this sort of okay? The other one was a little red, the footage.
Came back lighter at night.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Martin, his lower back was a little drier at night, it looked like. He's got the striations in the lower legs.
Yeah, his back was tight at night. That's a Cutler shot.
Yeah. What did Vito weigh here, by the way?
248.
Yeah, he looks big. And he's, what is he, like 5'7"?
5'7".
Incredible. He's got a lot of mass on him.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you about the Olympia, because I think he'll do well at the Olympia because of that size.
Well, you know, at the Olympia, you got to have them both. You got to have condition and size.
Yeah.
You know, but
what does Vito need to do to improve here? And
he needs to improve back thickness. That's easy. Other people that would take 2 years. He can do it in 3 months, and he's got to get his front lat spread corrected in the posing.
Is he holding his hands too high? I think.
That's yeah, and the side chest he can work it a little bit, but he looks good there on the side chest. You know.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it is? If you know, I don't know if this Bob would say. You see, on the side chest, he was holding his wrist down instead of curling it up.
Yeah,
that's a mistake because it doesn't allow your bicep to flex as much. So.
So he's got to get qualified.
Right? I think you should fly over to Russia, Chris. Tell your wife you have to go to Russia for 2 weeks.
Well, he did. He says I have to go to Russia because I didn't see my family. And of course, I told him. I tried to make him laugh, and I said, "Well, just get one of the nutrition companies that are loaded to the hilt in Brazil to bring your family to the CalPro."
Yeah. There you go. I think you need to go to Russia. I think you need to do a training session. You need to do some training stuff over
there.
Well,
I was going to go, but who's the guy that, Snowden is there.
Yeah.
He's like, honorary. And then who else is it? Not Van Damme, but who's the other guy who was the...
That what's the WikiLeaks guy is not there, is he?
No.
Julian Assange?
Assange is there. But the guy who used to be a Hollywood star was completely nuts.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name right now.
He actually, he was like a big Hollywood star for a while.
No, I know. I can't. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Just Google Russian Hollywood star. American Hollywood star.
One of the guys in the comments, give me the answer. Come on, so I don't have to look
it
up.
He hangs out with Putin all the time.
Yeah. Someone wrote Steven Seagal. I don't think it's Steven
Seagal. Yeah, Steven Seagal.
Oh, it is Steven Seagal. Oh, my God. Let me give him credit here, this guy. I didn't know Seagal's hanging out over there.
He's been there for years.
I didn't know that.
I'll go with Steven Seagal. Oh, Tucker Carlson too. You know,
well, Tucker just interviewed. He didn't hang out there. You know, he just
bent over backwards for Putin.
Yeah, well, he interviewed. Whatever.
He said, "Look at the grocery stores. They're so clean."
Dennis, according to Desktop Bodybuilding, Xavier Wills, Dennis Rodman hangs out in North Korea with Big Kimmy.
Yes, he does. That's right.
Yeah. You know who else is in, not in North Korea, but South Korea is Bob Sapp. Remember Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob is now bodybuilding. Did you know that?
I would like to see the Desktop Bodybuilding Xavier get Dennis Rodman on his show.
There you go. Get him on our show.
What did Desktop Bodybuilding, who we have winning the show? Xavier, he don't want to say because he might have to have
a there we go. There's Seagal. You're right.
Xavier, who'd you have winning the show? I know you don't want to say because you want to be nice to everyone and have on the show in the future. Yeah, there's Steven Seagal.
Yeah, what's Seagal's what's his whole shtick with the Rodman and Kim Jong, whatever his name is, Kim Jong-un.
Steven Seagal's got the craziest hair though, with it's like sewn on.
Yeah.
It's like a toupee that's permanently sewn on.
I know.
He could have gone to Turkey where Bumstead went.
Chris, you're really flying on all colors today. He said Xavier thinks that Martin looked a bit fuller in the finals. So. But he had veto at prejudging. All right. Too bad no one cares.
I told you he wouldn't commit. Didn't I tell you? Yeah. That's why I asked him for his opinion, but I knew he wouldn't commit, so he could say.
One thing that you can't doubt us for is we commit. People don't like our committing, but according to this guy, I sound like Muttley the dog. Remember Muttley from Dick Dastardly Muttley? Yeah.
No, you don't sound like Muttley. But then again, when Bill Maher just recently had on that Matt Fried, that impersonated, he said he was offended when someone tried to impersonate him. He said, "You don't sound anything like me."
Oh, you know, Bill Maher has no sense of humor about himself. He's one of those guys.
That's it. The guy does like it. Dave. He doesn't. He just followed up with an unbelievable impersonation of Bill Maher, and Bill Maher still.
Oh, he did. I gotta watch it.
So offended. Oh, it doesn't sound anything like me.
Oh my God. So I have my documentarian out here.
What are you doing? You're trying to do the Sundance thing like George Farah?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I got jealous that George was doing the guru thing. So I have someone contacted me, and I don't know if we're going to reveal who it is yet, but he's filming. He's filming. He's here for 10 days. So I told him just hang out with me. We got yelled at. We almost got kicked out of the supermarket because we were filming in the supermarket.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you get kicked out of your house.
I said, what's the problem with filming in the supermarket? Like, you know what they're worried about. He's like, well, you know, I know you're giving us free publicity. I know you got a big channel. Like, so obviously they knew who I was. They probably did like a face recognition thing on me or something like that. I said, well, I'm glad you know that I have a channel. So what's the problem? He's like, well, you know, because I said, it's not like if I was going to say something bad about the store, I wouldn't have a huge camera out. I would be doing it with my phone. You wouldn't even know I was doing it. I said, so,
do they have like something before you enter the store that says no cameras allowed?
No, I don't think so. I don't. Who knows? Maybe they do. Sam's Club. I was in. If I was in,
if they have cameras on you, why can't you have cameras on them?
That's right, Dave. Chris, I like that. That's a very good point you make.
I mean, there's no sign that says you're being filmed every inch.
You know what, Chris? Tomorrow, if anyone says that to us and says, hey, you can't film me here, I'm going to be like, well, how come you could film me? I can't film you?
Yeah.
That's good.
No, just say you're not even filming them. You're filming yourself.
Exactly what I'm not filming any other people in there. I'm going over my rhetoric that I do in the supermarket. You know, I have like, you know, stuff that I buy, and there's the reasons why I buy the stuff I buy, you know, and all that stuff. So I got some Vino Viagra too. I got some wine when I was there.
Well, you'll have to take them back to Seaford, New York. Are you going to go back to Seaford, New York, to the old house with the hurricane head?
I don't know. I think this is like a new chapter. We're doing the new chapter.
Can you get Lechman to do a cameo?
I always believed in him.
You know, Dave, I sent you that picture I had taken. It was when MD, when Dave was at MD, it was like 500 pages. And then it was one MD next to another MD, but it was like 82 pages.
Yeah. You know, I'm watching that documentary on Amazon Prime about Hefner, Hugh Hefner, and how he started Playboy. The story, Chris and I were talking about this, the story of how he started Playboy is very similar to how Joe Weider started, Muscle and Fitness and Flex Magazine, like, or whatever it was, Muscle Builder, whatever it was called originally. It's like everyone thought they were crazy, you know, and they were like doing it in their house themselves. And Playboy was profitable from the very first issue. I think it's the only magazine of all time that was profitable from the first issue.
Well, casinos, with the exception of all the Trump casinos in Atlantic City, casinos generally tend to be profitable from day one. And any time.
Are they? No, but think about how much money you have to put into the casino to build it, though. So Hefner was making money from the first issue he sold. It's insane. Took Sports Illustrated, or I think it took him 10 years to make money or something like that, he was saying.
Because people were like starving to see what Hugh Hefner was giving them, and you couldn't see it. That easy at that. They weren't buying it for the articles.
No, you know what? Yeah, he thought they were. The funny thing was, Mike Wallace had him on like some talk show that he had at the time. It wasn't 60 Minutes. And Hugh Hefner had never gone on any. He was like a little bit of a geeky guy at the time, you know, and he was nervous. And Mike Wallace was really mean to him. And like, you know, like, and Hugh Hefner's trying to say, you know, it's like, this is like, you know, the magazine of culture and sophistication. And, you know, Mike Wallace was implying that it was a smut magazine, basically. That's
well, Dave, I asked you what did I ask you about it? I said, who came up with the logo? I said, it was the best logo.
Yeah, they talk about that. And I'm not through the whole thing yet because it's like eight episodes or something like that. But it's really good. If you guys want to watch something really cool,
it's the best logo, and it's the best name to own that magazine.
It wasn't supposed to be Playboy. It was supposed to be called Stag Party. And then Stag Magazine is like a hunting magazine that contacted them and was going to sue them, sent them a cease and desist. So they had to change the name before the first issue came out. And back then, they had to cut out every single layout. Because remember, the pages weren't laid out on the computer. There was no computers. It was laid out on like big pieces of cardboard, like you would bring like for a school project. So they had to cut with an X-Acto knife every little, you know, name that said Stag Party on every page. They had to paste in Playboy magazine, you know, that they renamed it to.
Well, he got a letter like Jack Owak, but Jack stayed with Stag.
Frank Stallone wanted to take Lee Priest to the Playboy Mansion, he says.
Are you kidding me?
But he started dating Kathy, left Francois, and then he thought it wouldn't be very nice if he went. So that's very kind of you, Lee, but you would have a much better story right now if you had gone to the Playboy Mansion.
Tomorrow, Dave, I don't know, to change the subject a little bit, but we'll come back to Hugh Hefner, do you remember the Marvin Hagler,
Hearns.
And Hearns fight?
Yeah. Yep.
Tomorrow's the 30th anniversary of that.
Wow.
Or 29th, I think. 29th anniversary.
I heard that the Sugar Ray Leonard is going to be fighting Sugar Sean Ray for an exhibition match.
That means they both need money. How about the Tyson Jake Paul?
That's coming up. Except that's an exhibition. It's going to be a joke, I have a feeling. Don't you think?
What's going to happen?
I don't know. It's a good question. It'll probably go the distance. You know, it'll probably be some.
I think Tyson knocks him out immediately, and people go like, "Oh, he should fight again for the championship."
Well, that I don't think that Jake Paul would allow his brand to be tarnished by getting knocked out by Mike Tyson. What do you think?
Yeah, but how, what if he does get knocked out?
I don't think he's not even, Tyson's not even allowed to punch him in the face. Did you know that?
Oh, please.
There's rules. They have these rules.
Oh my goodness. No, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. All right. I gotta ask you about Rami. Rami, everyone's sending me this video of Rami and saying, "What do you think? Rami looks great here." And what was your response to me? Which I believe your response, by the way.
Current. He does look great.
He's old, right?
I said that's not current.
So why is he putting that up as though it is? He didn't write anything at all.
Well, he put it up and didn't write anything at all. So allow people to.
You don't think this is a recent video?
No.
Well, you know, you worked with Rami, so you know he does look a lot younger here. He doesn't have a beard or mustache. You're probably right. What do you got? Maybe we should put a poll up. What do you think?
Let's see what Xavier might have some fraudulent inside information. I have the information, but I can't disclose it. And after it gets disclosed, it's not current. He says, "I had the information, but I couldn't disclose it." Rami looked better at prejudging than the night show. That's what it said.
Put up a poll, said.
Look, it's all the stars.
Yeah, because he's got lower lats here, Chris. There's no way he grew back those lower lats. So
unless he got with the Munka honey doctor.
The Manuka honey doctor. Lee, do you think that's an old picture? Oh, Xavier agrees with you. I know this is old, but I don't know which year. So he agrees with you. All right. So that should put the rest. Everyone who sent him, don't send me this video anymore, anyone, because it's old.
Yeah.
There's your answer. Xavier's he's got a young head, so he can remember back to when this video actually appeared, even though he doesn't know the exact year. So.
Yeah, but he smokes weed, so he might not get it right.
Who smokes weed? Oh, Xavier. Oh my god!
Medicinal. It's medicinal. Everyone's
the Rami videos from 18. That's what someone's telling me. So, yeah. All right. So now we have an answer to the Rami thing. We're going to see Rami in Pittsburgh at that guest posing. So that's going to, you know, we'll know right away what Rami looks like, because, you know, that's a preview for the Olympia every single year. I mean, we see them there, and so I think that. We're gonna find out. I already said it. I like Rami a lot. I just think that Rami's done. I don't think that Rami's making. He might be at the Olympia, but I don't think he's gonna be a factor. What do you think?
I think it goes back to Goodvito. You asked me about Goodvito. I think the Olympia is such a great show because it's a spectacle of freaks.
Can Rami be Goodvito?
No, I mean you talked about.
I don't think so.
How would Goodvito? You mentioned a freak factor of Goodvito, and I said, yeah.
I think Goodvito's better than Rami now.
No, I don't think so.
I do. I disagree with you. It's harder.
But you know, we like freaks, and you know, I just think that Rami's not done. I don't think he's done.
Now, why do you say that? Even though he's got the injury,
if he could hit his peak the way he needs to hit a peak, something would be it'd be impressive. Because there's a lot of matter. And frankly, did he hit his peak at the last Olympia? No. Did he win it when he won it the second time? No. Did he even win it when he won the first time? I think that was like a not good Olympia. I mean, he looked good, but he wasn't like hard. His leg from the side was hard. You know, was he hard? No.
Chris,
In other words, he was like hard enough for that lineup, and it wasn't like as you remember, that was not. There was a couple years where the Olympia didn't have the depth that it had in previous years. I think that's all changed now too. I think the Olympia has tremendous depth now. But
I hope Rami proves me wrong. I don't think he's going to do anything. He will not be a factor. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think you can. But you know what? I think people will be talking about him after the – if he's going to Pittsburgh, I will guarantee that he is going to be impressive.
All right, we'll see. We'll see if you're right.
You know,
I'll be the first to admit I'm wrong. If I'm wrong,
he's going to be big. You know.
Yeah.
But apparently, from this show, you can win the most muscular and still not win a show. So I guess it don't matter.
Yeah, well, good Vito is a lot harder than Rami's ever been in his whole career. So it is what it is. Did you see this? Did you see this commercial that Rami did?
No, I didn't.
I love this. I gotta say, Rami is, that's the greatest outfit I've ever seen. I don't know what they're saying in the commercial, but Rami with the wig on and the cat he's stroking, like the Godfather, like.
What is that a commercial for?
I don't know. He has it on his page. I love it. I can't
call George Farrah and find out. George would say he directed it.
I love this commercial. I wish I knew what they were selling on there.
Cat food. Looks like cat food to me.
It might be.
There's too many cats not to be cat food.
Hold on, let me see if I can translate this here. Hold on. Is this a confidence Ashraf for the first time in Egypt with a certificate of guarantee of trust from the Madinet Mass Innovation Labs? You'll rest your mind on the other because you will not pay any maintenance fees up to 20 years. So it must be some kind of freaking.
No maintenance fees. It could be a property.
Yeah. Good for Rami. He should stick with acting. I think he's. Look. He's got a good personality, Rami. Remember when we saw that original video of him back in the day before he was like big Rami? Yeah,
he's the best. He's the best.
He was cracking jokes and everything. I love it. Look at this little feast they had here.
Was that in Egypt?
It must be, yeah.
Probably the end of Ramadan.
Yeah. Well,
Maybe breaking his fast. Who knows?
Oh yeah. That's probably what it is. So very nice. I like Rami a lot. I think his best days as a bodybuilder are done. But I think his best days as a person, he can still do a lot of influencing in a very good fashion because he is a special person in that part of the world, and you know a lot of people love him and they look up to him. So I suspect that we'll. We haven't seen the last of Rami. He seems to be doing very good in these like these funny you know commercials and stuff like that.
Is this another one?
I've seen this one before. This is a good one. I'm getting hungry looking at that food. I do like Middle Eastern food a lot, actually, to be honest.
Dave, maybe you can get him to do a one-time only like Fiberlize commercial. Greg Valentino can write it.
There you go. Oh boy, I love it. Keep it up, Rami. Keep doing all the commercials and the celebrity stuff. I think that's where your future is. Seriously, he's funny because he can play the straight guy. You know who else was a very good straight guy for bodybuilding? You remember when Eugene Mission used to do the
commercials?
What was that company called? He had the syringe. He'd have the syringe sticking out of his arm, and they'd say, "No, there's no hormones in this cow," and he'd be dressed as a cow. There's no hormones in this cow, and he's like, "No." They're like, "Why do you have a syringe in your arm?" "No, I don't. No hormones." You know. I gotta find that. Where's that Eugene Mission?
He's the original Russian, Dave. Who are the Russian bodybuilders? Better off him and
yeah, and the good Vito. Do the Russians still claim him?
Dave, can you put an APB out for like to tell coaches stop trying to poach Good Vito and Dino?
Is Good Vito still being claimed by Russia, or did they give him up?
He's Russian.
I know he speaks Russian, okay, but you know how he moved to Brazil. So
no, he's got Russian blood, like the guy in Rocky, like, like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. Hold on. That's not the one I want. Hold on. I found the Eugene one. Hold on. That was the one with Eugene dressed as a cow with a syringe hanging out of his arm. I love it. I love it. I love seeing bodybuilders in ads. who keeps asking about the PJ Braun update? I gave an update on Ask Dave. PJ Braun is out of jail. He's on house arrest still. And when he's done with all that, he's going to come on the show. I told him I'd like to make him a regular on the After Hours show, but he's going to come on and tell his whole story, but he can't do it right now until he's done with house arrest. So that's your update on PJ Braun. And we talked for a little bit, and he's doing well. So thanks for asking. I'll pass on that information that you guys have been asking about him. He's probably watching the show anyway. I cannot take my lizard mask off. Sorry, guys. Keeping it on today. All right. What else, Chris?
Well, we want to know a little bit. We want you to delve a tad bit more into your documentary. So,
I don't know what it's about. We don't really have a definitive idea of what it's going to be about. We're filming like lifestyle stuff. So we have all that, footage, and then we're going to do a sit down, and we're going to figure out where it's going to be a lot about, like, you know, my whole life coming up, because I see my life as this, you know, and everyone has their own calling, right? I think my calling is to educate people and teach people. And the only way you can really educate and teach people about health, fitness, you know, being a great bodybuilder is to experience it, right? You have to go through it. And, you know, look, I've had a lot of surgeries and health things that I've, you know, nipped in the bud, right? I mean, a lot of the stuff that happened to me, it could have been serious, you know, if I didn't catch it, thyroid cancer, aorta. Look what happened to Boston Lloyd. He died of an aorta rupture. So I think that, you know, the fact that I'm on top, try to stay on top of my health as much as possible. I do all the diagnostic tests. I try to take the right vitamins and eat the right foods and, you know, educate people as to how to do it. But I think it's one thing to tell people what to do and to have the education to know how to do it. It's another thing to actually experience it, right? Because when you experience it, you have a much better insight into the, not only the physical aspect of it, but the psychological aspect. So I think that the documentary has to be geared around, you know, what my calling is and how it, you know, evolved to where it is today. So, but that's what my gut tells me. We'll see how it comes out. You never know. What you do is you start filming and you see where it goes. And that's sometimes it goes in the direction you never suspected.
Yeah, exactly.
Lee Priest, isn't your documentary coming out soon? Oh, here it is. He's saying something about homo.
Yeah, but it's going to be really.
He sat and watched 2.5 hours of his documentary, heard all your comments. It's going to be good. Oh, yeah, I was in his documentary. Mine should be out in August. Has a ton of people in it. Okay, good. I can't wait to see it.
Who, Lee Priest?
Lee Priest's one, yeah.
Is Dillette in it, Lee?
Did they get Dillette interviewed? We'll see if he answers.
You got to get Dillette and Wayne DeMillier in it.
I don't know about Wayne DeMillier, but I think that, you know, Lee was not happy with the last documentary that was put out about himself. So I know he's excited to see this one.
Well, you got to have control when you're doing a documentary. What do you know?
I think the person who did Lee's other this new documentary is the one who did the Cormier documentary. So I'm sure it's going to be good. They'll probably find footage on Lee that Lee didn't even know existed. Like, Lee, they might actually have that footage of where you tied your penis to the coffee table when you were doing cocaine. They might actually have that video footage. You know, maybe your wife provided it to them. So that would be great. He says yes. let's see what Xavier has to say here. Hold on. Dave, if our lives are anything to go by, then expect the unexpected. Yeah, you're 100% right, Xavier. People don't know what we're talking about, but yeah, you're right, 100%. All right, let's do a little bit of a Nick Walker update.
People have been asking. Don't forget, Nick. Don't forget, Nick. I'm doing the wrap up with your mother in New York. Sure, she's there.
Did you confirm it with her?
No, I will. I'm definitely going to confirm it. She's going to do the wrap up with me because she's got a great eye.
Yeah.
She's got a great eye. I would ask her. You know what? I'm going to text Nick. You know what? I'm on my phone. I was going to say I would text Nick now to ask his mother who she had winning the Detroit Pro. And if she says Martin, then I'll say okay. Her eye is.
Are you gonna turn it? You're not gonna let her do the wrap up with you if she thinks that Martin should have won?
No, she's gonna. I will. acquiesce to her opinion.
Yeah. So you value her opinion more than you value your own opinion.
Yeah, because I know I already figured out she's unbiased. which is very hard to do because she should be biased. I don't know about Nick's father, but the mother's not biased.
Yeah. Those are legs.
What's that?
Those are legs, I said.
Yeah, he's got everything. He's big. You know, he's big, he's brutal.
Yeah. I would have liked to seen Good Vito posing down next to him because I think they have very similar physiques.
Yeah, they do, but you know,
I mean, Nick's bigger, obviously, but
yeah, still. Nick's got much more depth to the back.
They're about the same age, right? Or is Nick a little older, maybe?
Maybe they're the same. They could be the same age. Maybe Nick might be a little bit older.
Yeah,
or so.
You know, it's funny. We were talking the other day about I was talking to Kenny Wallach, and we were talking about how Kenny used to come to my house with Evan Santapani, Guy Cisternino, Chris LeComp, and all those guys from Connecticut. I'm like, yeah, when Guy was like a young kid, he was in his 20s, and I'm thinking, holy shit, Guy's retired now. Guys don't know what I mean anymore. I'm like, I can't believe how fast time has gone. I remember when they were in my living room just like the other day as young kids. I was only in my 30s.
I tell people all the time, whenever they say, should I say yes? I don't even let people finish questions.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for 20 years, you know, literally since I was in my late 30s. When people, should I say yes?
It's nuts.
If I haven't finished a question. I said, listen, why not? What is the point?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to debate it in your brain, like knock it back and forth and forth and back and just never even start it, whatever it may be.
Yeah. It's I have trouble dealing with the fact that so much time has passed so fast.
It's, you know what? It's going to go even faster.
I remember what, do you remember what you were doing on the New Year's Eve 2000? When the
99? Yes, I do.
What were you doing when we hit the year 2000?
I was in Mecca. How's that? Saudi Arabia.
You were?
Yeah.
Wow. What were you doing in Saudi Arabia?
I went to Umrah there, which is like a pilgrimage there.
Wow. On the first of the year? That's crazy.
Yeah. It was the first, and it was Ramadan that period of time. And it was like a gazillion. It was like 2 million people there. It was insanity, complete beyond insane. And I drove from Qatar, and I was...
Are you even allowed to drive from Qatar to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, but I was so sick. It was crazy. I was so sick. And you know when
you were like physically sick?
I had the flu. And when you drive and you're sick and you feel every bump.
Right. Was someone else driving you or you were driving yourself?
Somebody drove me. We're going like 2,000 miles an hour. And people were right. And I was away, so, and there was no internet really. So remember the like Y2K, not to be confused with Neil Hill's Y3K, whatever his training program is.
Right.
The Y2K was like when the computers were going to all like crash.
Yeah, I thought the whole world was going to come to an end. Yeah.
Because.
That's why, you know, when Lee Priest was still alive, 12 hours before the New Year's occurred here, I knew we were okay, but.
Where were you on New Year's Eve? 1990?
I'm going to tell you. So I was in my house in Seaford, my original house, the one that became my rental house. And Bob Sapp was sitting in my living room because he was dating the girl I was married to, Barbara, at the time. He was dating her friend. And I spent New Year's Eve with Bob Sapp, and I was doing his coaching. He was enormous. That's when he was fighting, you know, and whatever it was, K2 or whatever. He was like 360 pounds. He was a behemoth. Well, now he's bodybuilding, Chris. Now, I don't know if you knew that. I'm going to pull up some footage. I'm going to hopefully get him on the TV show at some point. And he's dieted down to a very lean, svelte Bob Sapp. And he's been competing in Korea. I don't know why he decided to do it in Korea, but he's in Korea right now. Been doing bodybuilding shows there. So Bob the Beast Sapp is no longer like a big mountain of a man. I mean, he's still a mountain, but he's not, he's a ripped mountain now. So for those of you who wanted to know, he's so popular in Asian countries, Chris. They think he's like the living Godzilla, basically.
Why is he so popular there?
They love big freaky guys there. And he's you know, he was his first like UFC fight, you know, whatever it was, K2, he fought the champion. Yeah. He almost killed the guy, you know. The guy wound up winning because Bob gassed out, but he beat this guy up so bad, body slammed him. I mean I don't know how the guy survived, but he did somehow, and then Bob kind of gassed out and he wound up tapping Bob out, but it was a great fight. After that, he became like a folk hero. That he was making so much money there. He's probably still making money there, but he's older now, so he decided to switch to bodybuilding. He still does commercials and all kinds of stuff there, you know, in those Asian countries. He's very popular over there. All right. You were talking about being in Saudi Arabia and everything. Yeah. That was what year? That was 2000. So that was 20, almost 25 years ago. Wow. Yeah.
Switching on to 2000.
Yeah. All right. Sid ran a poll. Is Big Ramy finished? Yes, his time has passed. 57% of people said yes, his time has passed. No, he still has gas in the tank. Only 42% said that. So our audience feels that Ramy's done. So we'll have to see what he looks like in May at the Jim Mannion's show, which is coming up. It's going to be a crazy, crazy, crazy guest posing by, I know, Derek Lunsford will be there. Let me see if I can pull up the poster. Nick Walker will be there.
Nick will be there when we go. Tracy.
He'll probably be the best, right?
Mom will be there. She'll drive from wherever she lives to go there. She's got to give him some tips because she's going to see him dieted down next to people who are off season.
Will Carlos Thomas Sr. be there? That's the question, Chris.
Carlos Thomas Sr. If it's driving distance, Dr. Richard will be there.
As Steve Wright used to say, every place is driving distance if you have the time.
Yeah.
So we got Hunter Labrada, Samson Dowd, a Big Ramy, Derek Lunsford, Nick Walker, Andrew Jack is going to be there, and special appearance by Chris Bumstead, who guaranteed will not pose.
Yeah.
That's May 10th through the 11th.
Dave, I went out to eat two nights ago with my wife.
Right.
And there was a waiter there. I should have taken a picture of this show. He looked just like Bumstead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, facially exactly like Bumstead.
With the mustache?
Oh, Dave, I should have taken a picture. You know how I know? My wife said, "What is your problem?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Why will you not look at that waiter? Every time he comes over, you look directly at me, and it's embarrassing." And I thought, because it looks, you know, it looks like Bumstead. I didn't want to do this, like double, like triple check. I already looked like three times. So like,
that's great. Yeah, I think that he'll probably be the most popular guy there. It would be nice if he would get up on stage, right?
Yeah, he's probably take his shirt off and hit a front double.
Mannion should ask him to do it. You can't say no to Jim Mannion, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Steve Weinberger's show is coming up with the week after that. I'll be out there. I haven't booked my flight yet, but
I'm going. I just made my hotel room reservation, Steve.
I'm going just to see Nick Walker on that stage. I'm going to see, get a preview of him. And I'll make it a little. Let's go see my
sister. Me, you, Nick's mom, and Sid can
do that. There you go. Dream team. It's like the dream team of like, remember when Jordan was on the dream team and they won the Olympics? We got the dream team of the wrap ups here. What does it say first? Man, the comments are flying today, man. These guys, everyone must be, what are you guys, on Adderall tonight or something like that? Everyone's like wide awake.
Well, we moved the show to 9:15 from 12:15 at night.
I know. we're getting into the heart of the season. But you know what I'm noticing, and I don't know if you've noticed this. I think we're going to have a problem with getting a lot of people qualified for this year's Olympia. There's going to be people missing that shouldn't be missing.
I'll give you an example. There's going to be people who don't.
How is Della Rosa going to ever qualify? I mean, the guy is looked the best he's ever looked in his career. He can't even get to the Olympia, you know?
You know, it made me want to go back a little bit to, like, I don't know. Should they pick first and second and just trash the points thing?
I know. There is no points. There's no points anymore. There's no points.
No, I know that. I know that. But where there was, I mean, you know, they got rid of that. Did they just go like first and second? Because the problem is, so like, let's just say.
So New York Pro's May 18th, Cal Pro May 25th, Toronto June 9th. Empire's Classic in Spain and Alicante is the 16th. Flex Weekend Pro in Italy is the 23rd. Mr. Big Evolution is the July 7th. Vancouver Pro is the 13th of July. Chicago is July 18th. Dubai Pro, that's going to be a big one, right?
There's still a lot of shows, I guess.
But you know what? These European ones and these ones overseas, the guys from America won't do it. And then you got Tampa. What's the last qualifier, Sid? Before the Olympia. Oh, so you're right. There is a lot of them, Chris.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are overseas. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of European. I got news to you. If I'm a John De La Rosa, or if I'm a couple of guys like that who are going to be having trouble maybe qualifying, I might think about going overseas and hitting a couple.
Can we go back to time flies?
What?
Did we just not say like 6 minutes ago that time flies?
Yes, we did.
If you don't try to get qualified like now, this year, you could get an injury and not even qualify next year, even if you're a qualifiable type bodybuilder. That's what I mean by time, taking advantage of time. You could be a good enough bodybuilder to be in the Olympia and you like delay it this year because you didn't win this show, you didn't win that show. And then people tell you, well, you know, if you take a year off, you can add 6 pounds and next year be a factor. It's like, well, next year you might get injured. And people can come off at the Olympia. Not everybody, but people do come in off. You
know? UK Pro, September 15th, last qualifier of the year. So I think we're going to have to see some of these guys go to Europe, Chris. I don't think that they're going to be able to, all of them are not going to be able to do it in the United States. So.
Yeah.
What's Xavier? Let's see. Xavier's got an idea here. Let's see what he's saying. Group the shows in groups of four shows, and the top four or five on points from each four shows qualify, which means it encourages guys to do more shows that are close together. Yeah, it's the math is too complicated. Xavier. They can't even figure out the scores at the individual shows. Advanced mathematics already.
I guess the question is, what is the harm in taking the top two from a show?
Well, you got double the people at the shows that at the Olympia. Well, then,
I mean, is there a negative to that?
Well, yes, because they have to pay for all those guys. That's the negative.
Stop the money. Stop with the money thing.
Well, Chris, do you want to see 45 people on the Olympia stage?
Dave, why not?
It's too many people. They shouldn't have that many people. Arnold only had like 8 people. It was much easier.
That's okay. It was a weak Arnold.
Yeah.
It was a weak Arnold.
I don't know what the answer is.
I can't answer it.
Okay.
The best Olympia was two Olympias ago where there were like 37 guys in the show.
I have a better idea. How about they let the top three qualify at the top shows, like New York Pro, Arnold?
No, top two, because you know what? You can be a crappy third place bodybuilder. You can be a crappy third place bodybuilder.
Right.
Okay. Is Antonio Burton an Olympian? Yes, he just got second. Is Good Vito Olympian type bodybuilder? Yes, he just got second. So there you go.
I think you can only do it at the top show.
Don't be like people who control the sport and saying, the money, we can't do it, the money. The people run the Olympia. We can't do it, it's too expensive. You know what? I have insane expenses, you know, and you make room for what you want to make room for. You can cut other, you can use the black curtain and torpedo the stupid backdrop that you have and the stupid lights that you have and invite more people. Period. I just saved you $300,000. And infinitesimal criticism. And you know what? They won't go with the black curtain because they don't want to say, oh, we were told by the fans what to do. We know what we're doing. It's absurd.
All right. Sid's putting up a poll. What shows should you see? Second place finisher also qualifying for the Olympia? Put them in the comments. I think New York Pro would be one of them.
New York
I think
Pro for sure, top two.
Yeah. I think the Arnold shows definitely should be top two.
At a minimum, you should take the shows that have committed for a long time.
Like Tampa.
Tampa's been around a long time.
Tampa's been around even longer, yeah.
Cal Pro has been running for a long time. Toronto Pro running for a long time. That's people who have skin in the game, promoters, who've done a good job, even if the promoter's turnover is, you know, different. You know, maybe not a show that's, it's a first year show, like the Detroit Pro. Maybe this wouldn't be a good one.
Right.
Because it's just new. But you honor the people who have stuck by the sport and promoted shows for a long period of time. Do not have the New York Pro top two is like absurd.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
And look who you have in it. I mean,
to not have the Arnold Classic top two is absurd.
Yeah, it's beyond absurd.
I have a, you know what? I got a great idea. How about they base the qualification spots on how much prize money you give away? The more prize money you give away, the more qualification spots you got.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
That's a great, I'm saying it's a great idea. It will inspire more people to give away more money. There you go. There's my idea. Throw it out there. Run with that, guys. If Arnold's giving away 500 grand, you know, first place, you know, then they should give him three spots, you know, for the three qualifications.
I just can't believe that you fall for this trap. I don't know who lays it. Oh, well, we only need eight guys in the Arnold Classic. You have 63 effing classic guys, 300,000 bikini girls. It's really, you know what? The whole entire thing, all of it is built on the back of bodybuilding from Arnold and Larry Scott, you know, first Mr. Olympia on. It was built, it wasn't built on bikini, it wasn't built on classic, it wasn't built on this or wellness, it wasn't built on men's physique, all fantastic divisions in their own right. And you want to whittle away what, if you didn't have that, you know, these divisions wouldn't even exist.
Right. Well, I think they should make some kind of a sliding scale based on your prize money. If you have $100,000, you know, for first place and you're giving away more than, you know, at least 150, you know, 20,000, you should absolutely get at least two spots, you know, maybe three. If you're giving away 75 grand or more, like Xavier said, maybe you get two spots, you know, and that would, you know, that would really up the value of those shows. So now not only would people compete because there's more prize money, but they'd compete because there's more qualification spots, because you're only getting one spot for the Arnold. Yeah, it's great that he's going to give away 500 grand next year, but he's only giving away one spot to the Olympia. Well, how could that show be just as valuable as some regular show that they're holding, you know, in Italy somewhere, the first time show? So I think that they got to do something and put it on some kind of a sliding scale based on how much money they're giving away. That, I think that would be a great way to do it.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear the feedback.
Just so people don't message me and like exhausted with their nonsense. The Arnold was not a weak show, but it's weak in terms of numbers. And that's what made the Olympia incredible 2 years ago, is because if you look at the names that did not make top 10, you know, the following year, Crizzo didn't make top 10 and didn't, frankly, even deserve to be top 10. The next year, he's like in almost the first call out. Why? Because it's 14 guys versus 37.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy says all they have to do is have a knockout bonus, so the fewer people at the Olympia gets the prize money spread over fewer people. I don't know. I'm not really following what he's suggesting. Do you? But thank you for the tip. Do you understand that, Chris?
No, I didn't. I'm not smart. Figure that one out.
All right. Well, if you guys like that idea about more prize money, more qualification spots, post it in the comments. maybe we'll get some feedback from the powers that be on what they think about that. And I want to thank you guys for joining us live today. Congratulations to Martin Fitzwater for winning that qualification spot and the Detroit Pro. Fuad, great job on putting on that show. Great lighting on stage, like the Black Curtain.
Great. Fuad, one, great lighting. Two, great backdrop. Three, very good money. Actually, great money for the first year you're doing the show.
How much did they give away for first prize, please?
$25,000.
That's good. Very good.
And then they also gave Most Muscular.
Which was Vito. How much did he win for that?
50 cents. $2,500.
No, and what about the best? Who won the best poser?
Martin Fitzwater.
Okay. So everyone went home with some cash. That's
and
great.
And they gave Most Conditioned, which I didn't agree with. So I didn't agree with the winner.
Who won best Most Conditioned?
The guy who got third.
Oh, Ron Gordon. I think that Good Vito should have won Best Condition, probably. But
Dave, if you win Best Condition and Most Muscular,
yeah, you not win the show, right? Exactly.
I mean, did anyone really think that he wasn't the most conditioned? Whether you think he should have won or not, anyone really?
Oh, there they are. It was the Luke Sandow Most Muscular Award he won. That's great. They named it after him.
Cedric McMillan Best Poser Award.
Ah.
Even though Cedric won.
Martin won 27,500.
Yeah. Dave, it's the Kai. It should be the Kai Greene Best Poser Award because Cedric won the Arnold Classic in 2016 against Kai Greene. He won,
and he lost the Best Poser. Right, you're right.
He won all first place votes, and then he lost the posing round. And right. The posing round counted. It's like it counted for double the amount of the actual bodybuilding portion.
Right, because the Arnold was all up on the whole the posing round.
So it was the only year that they did that. And Kai
Cedric had the worst luck when it came to that shit. Yeah.
Kai ended up winning the show. Yeah. In that case, Cedric could have won Most Muscular. He could have won Most Conditioned, and because they judged the posing routines as twice the value.
Who won the Dave Palumbo Best Glutes Award? I'd give that to Good Vito too.
No. Blackman's giving $2,500 for that.
Woo! I'm giving a bottle of Vino Viagra. All right, we got to wrap up, guys. Thanks for joining us live tonight. As always, we end every show by saying, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Oh, it hurts so much. We'll see you again next week. Thanks, guys, for joining us.